be in Psalms this morning. I'm going to be preaching that message probably maybe this evening or Wednesday night. The Lord dealt with me about something that I felt like needed to be preached this morning. So turn with me to the book of Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. If you will, please turn. Book of Malachi, first chapter. Verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised your name? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that as we speak this morning, we shall speak the thing that's closest to your heart. May we be blessed by the word of the Lord. May our hearts be encouraged to understand the things you've set before us. Father, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye. David, are we okay? I knew this thing wasn't working exactly right up here. Okay, now we're back up. Where's my honor? We were discussing in the Sunday school class this morning, and I guess it's very difficult for me to get back there in Sunday school class and not blurt out some of the things I'm going to preach on in the morning, but I guess I do that all the time. But we were talking about something back there. Talking about the fact that the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life is Christ the Lord of your life. I was reading over in the book of Romans some of the verses that we use to describe the work of salvation. And the very work of salvation itself is contingent upon our declaring Christ to be the Lord of our life. Paul tells us we must believe. He says, where the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, what's he talking about? What confession? It's not simply the confession, I believe Jesus rose from the dead. We have to believe that, yes. But the confession of salvation is that Christ is Lord. He's Lord. And what you're saying is that I am declaring from this moment on that Christ is the Lord of my life. Paul tells us in Philippians, the second chapter, that there will be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall do what? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I think as Christians sometimes we try to bypass that little thing or circumvent it and say, well, the confession of salvation is believing that Christ rose from the dead. No, you have to believe that. But the confession of salvation is that Christ has become and is become the Lord of your life. Now, that's a good start. But I want to read you something here. I want to read you from, I'm going to read two or three verses from the book of Malachi. I'm just kind of preaching on the book of Malachi this morning. I don't know what. In verse 13 of chapter 2, God says, "And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, inasmuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand." What are they saying? What's God saying? God is saying to these people, now, in the book of Malachi, there's a certain thing that's been going on. According to the chronological time period in which Malachi was written, it was probably written somewhere about the time the temple had already been restored in Jerusalem, and had been restored long enough so that there had been some abuses begin to start in the temple service. And here, we're going to talk about some of those in just a minute, but here, God is saying to them, "You're coming to me, and you're saying to me, we have come to the altar, we have cried tears, and yet God still doesn't seem to answer." And God says, "Do you know why? Do you know why I haven't answered?" And then God begins to point out the fact that although he is supposed to be Lord of their life, although he is supposed to be the master of their fate, that they are disregarding the commandments of the Lord, and they're doing what they please to do. And what we discussed in Sunday school class this morning was the fact that from the Garden of Eden until now, that the real problem with mankind has always been, from the choice in the garden till now, the real problem between me and God and you and God and anybody else and God is the fact that I have to make a decision who is going to be God in my life. Now, if I come to the altar and I cry a bunch of crocodile tears and, you know, we used to call them years ago one towel and two towel services, where he might use two whole towels sopping up the tears off the altar, it doesn't make a difference to God how much you cry on the altar. It's what you do in your daily life outside the doors of the church that matters to God. Now, it's wonderful to have a time of repentance, but real repentance is always accompanied by the works that follow it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." Now, he's not talking about establishing a prayer time every day. He's talking about coming to God in repentance. "If my people will humble themselves and repent," that's what he's saying. But then he said, "and turn from their wicked ways." It is not enough just to pray. You've got to turn. Amen, Brother Potter? All right. It's not enough just to say, "God, the service has been wonderful today, and my emotions are stirred, and I feel like I'm really going to do something for God, and I'm going to come up there, and I'm going to lift my hands, and I'm going to let somebody pray for me, and I'm going to say, he's Lord of my life." And then you walk outside the church, and you start doing things that reveal to God that he is not the Lord of your life. That's what the book of Malachi is about. Where's my honor? Many years ago in Decatur, Alabama, there was a night the men met at the church to pray. And I came along with them. I was home off a revival, something. And I began to pray in the Spirit. And while I was praying in the Spirit, I heard the Spirit of God. I just was listening to the prayer that the Spirit of God was issuing out of my heart. And when it came out, I was praying some things from the book of Malachi. There's a curse in the book of Malachi. "Cursed be the deceiver," God says. "Cursed is the deceiver." Verse 14 of the first chapter. "Which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." What's he saying? That you are bringing judgment upon your own life when you promise God the thing that He has asked for in your life, and you give Him less. Should I say that again? What they were doing, if you read this whole chapter, they were going through with the sacrifices like they said, like God commanded of them. But they were bringing the halt and the lame and the blind and the maimed and all of those kind of things that Malachi said, try to pay your taxes with that. See what happens. Amen. Try to pay your taxes. See if the governor will accept what you're trying to bring to me. Here is the spirit of backsliding when we try to offer unto God less than God demands of our life. Should I say that again? Probably haven't heard that term in a long time. It's called backsliding. And what is backsliding? Just what is it? What is it that God becomes angry with? Wherein is God's honor? You know, there is a passage that tells us that if we will honor God, He will honor us. In fact, it's twice in the Scriptures. There's once when God speaks it to Aaron. I believe it's Aaron, one of the high priests. He says, I will honor them that honor me. And then over in John chapter 12, Jesus said about those who follow Him, that if those who follow Him, He said, Him will my Father honor. Well, what's He talking about? He's talking about something of a man who's made a decision, and yet his decision is not true. It's easy to make with our mouth, but not easy to keep. Matthew 19 is the story of a young man who come to Christ. Notice that, he comes to Christ. And says, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus tells, oh, I've already done that. I've already done all that. But Jesus knew his heart, didn't he? He knew that he was not Lord of that young man's heart. That young man had a Lord in his heart that was greater than God. And it was his avarice and his greed and his lust for power. Jesus told him, all right, go sell everything you have and give it away and come and follow me. And I've often called him the disciple that never answered. He could have been the apostle. Did you know that? Whenever the apostles were chosen on the day of Pentecost, when they put the lots in the bowl and made choice for the one that Judas lost when he fell, this young man could have been one of those that was chosen to be an apostle. But he lost it. He lost it right here because Jesus uncovered and exposed the God that he really served. I said it back there and I'll say it again out here. All of our trials, all of our tests in life, everything that we face in life is based upon the same type of structure or the same premise. Is Christ Lord of your life? Of course, the flip side of that would be, are you surrendered? Same thing. So even though I'm not in Psalms, I'm still talking about surrender. What I'm trying to show you this morning is it's so easy for us. This young man came to Christ and he said, I am totally devoted to God. I'm totally given to serving the Lord. Until Christ put his finger on that man's life and made him make a decision. See, the problem with our decisions, what we call the hour of decision, is not so much here, but it's out there. I make a decision to serve God. I went into the grocery store this week, as is often my custom to do so. And the lady rang up some things from the counter for me. And when I started to write the check, I looked at her and I said, you did not charge me enough. You forgot $5 at least. Now, you know, I have been to that store and I have got things and got home with it that were bad. I could have said to myself, well, now I'm justified in cheating that store. It was exactly $5 she'd forgotten. I'd got four cartons of drinks and she only charged me for two. I could have justified myself. I could have said, well, now they've cheated me, I'll cheat them. But that's returning evil for evil. Instead, I told her, I said, lady, you didn't charge me enough. And she looked at the tape and she said, you're right. And she added it up. It wasn't but $5 more. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil will tempt you to sell your walk with God and the lordship of Christ in your life for $5. Well, I wasn't even tempted, I can tell you that. But the hour of decision is at the grocery store when you're paying the bill. The hour of decision in your life is every time you have to make a decision between yourself and God. That's the hour of decision. That is the moment in which I choose to honor God or dishonor God. That's the moment. Now, I may get personal here before it's over with. It's all right. When you make a decision Sunday after Sunday to lay out of the house of God, now I know, I'm not talking about folks on vacation. I'm not talking about folks that get sick or have a problem. I'm talking about those folks that could and should be in the house of God today that are not here today because they made a decision not to be here. They're dishonoring the Lord. I didn't get one amen when I said that, but it is still the truth. You see, the Word of God says that we should come together even so much the more so as we see that day approaching. Why? Because in the last days, perilous times shall come. Do you not know this morning that your very mortal soul is in danger of hellfire? Do you not know that? And the only way that you're going to walk with God in this final day is by being among your brethren. Amen. Now, don't tell me, Brother Potter, I can make it by myself. I'm going to tell you, the devil's lied to you. And I remember something Brother Whitaker told me a long time ago. It's the banana that leaves the bunch that gets peeled. Hello? What does the wolf do except try to separate one of the sheep from the flock? Why? So he can devour it. Now, people, you can't make it by yourself. I'm going to tell you that now. You can't. You may think you can, but if you think you can, Satan's already deceived you because you can't make it by yourself. God instituted the church for a reason. God gave the church ministry for a reason. And we dishonor Him. It wasn't my idea to start a church. It wasn't my idea to be a preacher. Certainly wasn't my idea to be here this morning. I got up this morning and the first thing I did was go in the bathroom and throw up. I could have said, well, that's a good excuse to stay home. I'll call Ronnie Jim and preach this morning. No. There was something in my heart that said, I want to be in the house of God this morning. I want to be in God's house. You see, it's not so much that people are not here. It's why they're not here. It's why they're not here. When you lose the love for God's house, you're already backsliding and moving away from God. There are people who made a decision to go fishing, or people who make a decision to go hunting, or people who make a decision to do recreation on the day when they should be in the house of God. I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you one more time. God separated this day unto Himself. God means for us to keep that day unto Him. He means for us to honor Him. I'm not trying to be legalistic this morning, but I know exactly where I'm coming from in the Spirit of God. We dishonor God when we disregard the things that He has set to bless us. Everything. This last week, God's been speaking to me about the covenant of God. You know, I've never really thought of the Ten Commandments as part of the covenant. But they cannot be separated from what they are. They're part of a covenant with God. And when we break covenant with God, now I know we're not under the law, but that doesn't mean we don't have a covenant. How many of you know that God said He was going to give us a new covenant? When He took away the old one, He gave us a new one. And the new one demands more of us than the old one did. Praise God. Read the book of Malachi. We dishonor Him when we hold back the finances that God has put in our hands to honor Him with. The very principle of offerings. In this very same book, God says, will a man rob God? How will he rob God? In his tithes and in his offerings. Not long ago, somebody sent me, I guess they tried to send me word. They said, we quit going to church over there because Brother Potter preached on tithes all the time. You know, I have never in my life ever had anybody get angry at me for preaching about tithes unless they weren't doing it. Hello? Amen. But it's in the Word of God. It's a principle that I have followed all of my life. And I'm trying to tell you something about this. I'm not trying to dwell on the negative today. I'm trying to show you something. God says there is a curse, there is a blessing. And as a pastor, as your spiritual leader in this church, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you the difference between that which will bless your life and that which will curse your life. It doesn't do any good to come here and weep a bunch of tears and still walk in disobedience to God. Now, I'm just touching on the obvious things today. The very most obvious things. God says to His people, where is my honor? Because they had not honored Him. They had offered Him less than the best. You ask yourself this question. Am I offering unto God less than the best of my life? Or is God a spare tire to me? Is church a spare tire to me? Is it something that I want to use when I get in trouble? Years ago when I lived in Florida, we had something we called a hurricane religion. Hurricane religion is them folks that always seem to call and want you to come pray with them just before a hurricane hit. After the hurricane was gone, you never seen them. I can feel some of this bouncing this morning, but that's all right. I'm going to preach you what God put on my heart. You see, Satan just whispers in your ear and says, he's preaching this because he wants to get a crowd at church and he wants more money. The devil lied to you, friend. God takes care of me whether you come or not. I've been here for 25 years and God has never let me down. He's never backed down. He's never failed me. When one person fails, God will raise up somebody else. I'm telling you that right now. God has always done that and He gave me a promise. He will always do it. I'm not depending upon you. I'm depending upon God. God is my source. And Sister Gladys will tell you, there was a time the church got down to where there was just me and her and Sister Potter showed up one night. Preached to her an hour anyway. Hallelujah.
She'll tell you the truth. Maybe an hour and 15 minutes. I thought Gladys really needed it. Amen. No, but I'm trying to get the point across to you. When you know something, when you know what God blesses, when you know what God honors, when you know the thing, you want God to honor you, then you have to honor God. Listen very carefully to me. My only desire, and God is my witness, and I will stand before God on the day of judgment and answer for what I'm going to say right now. My only desire for you is to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and be everything that God desires for you to be. That's my only desire. I haven't stayed here at this church because I was getting rich. I haven't stayed here at this church because there's a lot of glory involved in it. Lord have mercy, no. Now, folks, it's the truth. It's God's truth. I've stayed here because God put a love in my heart for this people and this place. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am in the dead middle center of the will of God being here. That's why Satan does everything he can to keep people from being here. And I'm sure it's not just with us. I'm sure it's with any church that's really walking with God. Where is my honor? We honor God or dishonor God in the hour of decision. When we choose between God or our money, between God and personal ambition, between God and our personal desires, between God and the things that we love in this earth, and very often between God and our own personal honor. We prove to God who is really the Lord of our life when we make those decisions. We dishonor God by choosing our way rather than His. We very often have lied to God, and worse than that, we have lied to ourselves. God is a great God. I read that to you. In fact, in this particular passage, there's one that we often sing here. From the rising of the sun, verse 11, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be great among the Gentiles. We sing, the name of the Lord shall be praised. From the rising of the sun. Anybody recognize that little verse? Till the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Amen. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. God seeks your honor. He seeks for you to surrender unto Him and give unto Him honor and glory, because He is He is preeminent in the earth. He is the greatest in the heaven. He is the greatest in the earth. And He deserves your honor and your praise. But the great thing about it is it invokes the law of reciprocity. God says the person that honors Him, He'll honor them. Should I say it again? The person that honors Him, He'll honor them. Now, folks, let me throw in a complication here. Did you know that the decisions that you make today not only affect you, but they're going to affect your children and your children's children and your children's children after them? The decision that Adam made in the Garden of Eden, it didn't just affect him. Now you think about it. The decision that he made and Eve made to eat of that tree, it affected me. It affected you, didn't it? The decision that he made to be his own God, you think about that. Look in the scriptures at people that have chosen their own way rather than God and see how it comes upon their children and their children's children. God spoke one time about the sin of the fathers being visited unto several generations. Have you ever read that? Why? It's not because God wants to do it. It's because we set in motion things that are going to follow us. I read one time years ago an example of a minister who lived in New England, part of America, during the early part of our nation's history in the Revolutionary War, right afterwards. A man that walked with God, a man that loved God. And someone had followed his family tree and found out in that family tree there were other ministers, there were statesmen, there were senators, and I think vice president, just that there were honorable people all the way down through that lineage. In the same town lived a man who was an agnostic, a despiser of God, a despiser of good. And they wondered about following the family tree of this man, and so they did. And it turned out to be a hanging tree. The majority of his offspring had turned out to be wretched, miserable criminals. Evil men. Despised people. The decision that you make to honor God or dishonor God doesn't stop at the moment that you make it. It's going to follow you. I said, it's going to follow you. It's going to follow you to your children. It's going to follow you to your grandchildren. It's going to follow you farther and further. What we set in motion with what we do follows us. I've heard people say, well, it's my business what I do. It ain't none of your business. It is my business. It's everybody's business in this world that we live with, whether you're creating people that'll be honored or people that are criminals in your life. Amen. Because as all of us know right here now, we're picking up the bill for it, aren't we? Come on now. All these people that are out here, these gay people that are getting AIDS, going to the hospital, have no insurance, and the government's paying for it. Where do you think the government gets that money? They take it out of your pocket. Come on now. Every time you pay your taxes, you're paying for some of these people who have walked in disobedience to God and chosen the wrong way, and you are paying for it. So it is your business. I don't mean to keep you too long this morning, but I'm trying to show you even the simplest decisions that we make. In the book of Malachi, they use an excuse. I don't know whether I can find it right at the moment, but they're making excuses, and they say, we don't really want to go. We don't really want to go to the house of God. We We don't like it there. I'm trying to find the exact, I underlined it, I thought, but maybe I didn't. Oh, here it is, verse 13. You said, behold, what a weariness is it? They're talking about the table of the Lord, the offering of the Lord, the service of God. What a weariness is it? And you've snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you thought you brought that which was torn and lame and sick. Thus have you brought an offering. Should I accept this at your hand? I'm trying to get across to you that God looks at you differently than you think He does. God looks at you in those hours of decision, not just in the house of God, but by what you choose to do. Before this man came to the church to offer his offering, he looked out in his flock and found the worst possible animal. He said, it's going to die anyway. I'm going to take it and give it to God. I'm going to go through with the formal aspects of the offering. But in his heart, he violated and dishonored God. All of my life, I've tried to honor God. All of my Christian life. And I'm not saying that to pin roses on this morning. But I'm saying that from that, I have begun to reap things because I have honored God. He has honored me. Now, whether you like that or not doesn't make any difference. It's still going to be there and it's still going to work. God has honored me with certain things. And I want to point out something to you. One of the spirits that brings judgment upon people is when we begin to discuss and talk about in a negative way or a benign way the ministry that God has set over us. You are dishonoring God. If you begin to criticize your husband, the Bible says you dishonor God. Amen. I can show it to you. But when you dishonor what God has placed over you in authority, you dishonor God. And in doing so, you are going to reap that dishonor. It's going to come back to you, and it's going to hurt. We need to learn to honor those. Why do you think the Bible teaches us to honor those people that have authority over us? Why do you think the Bible teaches you that? It's in the book of Hebrews, I'm sure to you. God wants to bless you. He really does. He wants to make your life full of joy and peace and happiness and make your life one that just bubbles and shines and glorifies God, and just everybody that gets around you say that blessing of God is on that person. He wants to do that for you. But we limit God when we dishonor Him. We limit God when we dishonor the Lord by being disobedient to Him. Why? Because we think we know better than God what needs to be done. Now, I didn't look for a bunch of amens this morning when I wrote this out. And you have not disappointed me this morning. Usually when people are hollering amen, it's because you're preaching something they like. But I've never been one to beat around the bush, and I'm not going to start now. I'm going to give it to you as the old preacher used to say, rifle barrel straight, amen. And what you do with it's up to you. We, I wish the house was full this morning. I wish everybody was here. Would I have changed my message? Lord, no. I'd have preached it just like I preached it. But be aware of this. If you honor God, He will honor you. Now, that doesn't mean we're taking part of His glory. That's not what it's talking about. But when God honors a man, special things happen. When I use a man, I mean mankind. Woman, child, whatever. If you will choose to honor God. Why did I tell that woman she hadn't charged me $5 enough? Why did I tell her that? Because I wanted her to think of me as honest? No. No. Because have you ever noticed that when Satan pulls one of them little sly things on you, that just as soon as you fall for his little trick, he throws the curtain back and say, look, look, look what she did, look what he did. You ever notice that? And there you stand with egg on your face, and he has discredited not only your relationship with God, he has discredited the God that you serve. I thought he was a Christian. I thought she was a Christian, but yet they cheated me out of this money. They lied to me. They did the wrong thing. Character, true character, is what you do when nobody's looking. Amen. A lot of us will do things when we think the crowd's looking, won't we? But are we honest when nobody can tell, when nobody can see, and nobody will ever know? Are we still honest? I know y'all think this is the longest 30 minutes you ever sat, but that's all right. I was going to go ahead and preach my other message this morning, and God spoke to me and said, I want you to preach this. If you want God to honor you, God is saying, where is my honor? Then you give unto God the honor that is due Him. Can you say amen? Let's pray. Father, I have shared this morning exactly what you put on my heart. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that is wounded, then pour in the oil and the wine. Begin the healing process. Father, we have not preached this for our own benefit this morning, but for your kingdom. These are your people, the sheep of your pasture. And my greatest desire, Lord, is to see them walk with you. Father, honor this message this morning with your presence and your power, and touch lives here today. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Brother Potter, aren't you going to call folks up front? Nope. We had enough tears up here. We've had enough tears up here to take the varnish off the altar. I want God to put this in your heart so that you will go forth from this place and every decision that you make in life from this day on will be that which exalts Him. And if you can do that, now I know we're all going to make mistakes, but if you make a mistake, don't lay there in it. Get up. Go on. Clean up the mess. Go on with God. Amen. We'll see you this evening. God bless you.